Welcome to Becoming Like Jesus, a podcast from Pure Heart Church, where we explore what it means to become like Jesus through the messy, imperfect stories of real life and real people. I'm your host, Chantel Hinnan, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. A quick shout out to Real Face Music. The music you are hearing in the background is from Andrew's latest album, Sacred Order. Be sure to check it out wherever you listen to music. We are so grateful that Andrew would let us use his song, Mr. Rogers, for this season's podcast. Today, we are talking with Pastor of Wellness, Todd Chambers, and our Director of Counseling, Brenda Cochran, about caring for the whole person during this really strange and weird time with the COVID-19 virus that we're all experiencing and facing. And so we talk about caring for yourself emotionally and physically and spiritually. We talk about kids. We talk about caring for other people. We talk about coping, a lot of different things. I hope that you enjoy this conversation. Let's get started. I'm here with Pastor Todd Chambers and Brenda Cochran. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Glad to be here.
Brenda, you're back for second round on the podcast. Todd, this is your first time here.
I know. It's my first time. I'm excited.
What do you help out with here at Pure Heart?
Pretty much everything. You name it, I do it.
Yeah.
Dan doesn't do anything, I do it all.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Pastor of Health and Wellness. We can treat the whole person. We teach, obviously, spiritual, physical, and mental.
Yeah.
And
Monday nights, dealing with all kinds of stuff that we all struggle with. And we have 28 facilitators that actually volunteer 2 hours of their time every Monday, 52 weeks a year, to help facilitate people who need support.
Wow.
On anything. Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's fun.
It's amazing. And we know you're helping out all over the place here too, Brenda, but you have your area that you help out with, and Crossroads is getting all launched. It's becoming a lot more real than last time we even recorded, huh?
Very real. Yesterday, this is hot off the press. I don't even think staff knows about it yet, but yesterday we got our access provider ID, which is a big deal. Because we can, we're gonna open pretty soon. We just need to get credentialed with the access or the Medicaid insurance plans, the 7 plans, and we will be able to open, which we're really looking forward to. Especially right now, we want to be able to help during times like this, and we hope to be able to launch something very soon to get people in to help people through this. What's going on?
Yeah, and that is why we're here today, because it is a very weird time that we find ourselves in.
Very.
Unprecedented, as we would probably say. A lot of people I've been, you know, talking with have been saying we've never experienced anything quite like this. And so we're all trying to navigate. And part of why we wanted to talk to you too is because I think caring for the whole person during this time is really important. But our lives look different than they've ever looked before. And for some of us, that's, you know, we all have different responses to when things like this happen. And I think the news and the media and social media might tell us, like, everybody's freaking out or stressed out. And sometimes that is true. Some people are experiencing a lot of stress and maybe what we would say are negative emotions. But in general, everybody has just their own experience in this. And so I think what we would like to talk about is that it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling in this process. There is no right way. We can honor all of our emotions, but learning how to begin to process through those.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted to have a conversation about that today, because everybody's at a different place in that process, I'm sure.
Well, Chantel, you don't even need me to be here because you basically said everything that we need to say about how to survive. You know, you hit it really well. You said it really well. I couldn't say it any better, that, you know, moving into a place of acceptance in what we're feeling and not judging, criticizing, and analyzing what's happening. So I completely agree with you.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree with both of you.
Great. So how do we start to do that? Because I think sometimes in the midst of this, especially if you are feeling panic or stress, or, you know, you're a single mom and you got to get groceries and you're scared, sometimes we don't even know how to identify that, those emotions. That we're, how do we begin to start to do that?
Well, we have like maybe 45 minutes, so it's really hard to dig deep into what I call self-awareness. So there's probably a lot of people listening on this podcast that have varying degrees of self-awareness. We may be very, very self-aware. And what I mean by that is understanding what's going on inside of our physiology, inside of our body, understanding what's going on inside of our mind, how we're thinking about our thoughts, and how that relates to how we function in the environment. So a lot of people can be very self-aware, but can be very triggered and very emotionally dysregulated. But then there can be people that have no self-awareness about what's going on, and they're reacting and responding. So I think the first step for people listening is to just stop and do a check-in. Like, how well do I know my resilience? And what I mean by resilience is my ability to cope in uncertain times, or my ability to cope in something, like you said, that's new and never, you know, we've never experienced anything like that, to really stop and do a check. You know, where am I? What am I feeling? What am I thinking? How panicked am I? Everything is always on a continuum. Nothing is ever constant. And sometimes when we're anxious or we're in a crisis, our bodies will tell us that it's constant, that we're always operating at a 10. But when we're self-aware, we know that we're not always operating at a 10. We know that we have ebbs and flows of emotional states and anxiousness. Nothing ever stays at a 10. Mm. So if we start looking at how, you know, our self-awareness of whether I'm totally anxious or not so much, it helps us to start putting everything into perspective. So that's one thing I can put out there today. I don't know if you have any questions about that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even thinking about myself in this process, I've experienced kind of what you just said, as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Because I was not really feeling stressed at all, you know? And I was handling it really well, I felt like, for the first week or so. And then it really hit me actually just yesterday, where all of a sudden something specific came up and I felt overwhelmed. And for the first time, I was starting to really feel a lot of things at once. Mm-hmm. And it was distracting me from my work. And mm-hmm. I had to do what you kind of said, like pause and check in and kind of just start to, you know, regulate my breathing and like, hey, you're feeling tightness in your chest and you're stressed right now.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, absolutely. You were able to identify, and kind of feeding off of what you just said, being self-aware is understanding our beliefs about how we should be feeling during times like this. What are our ideas or expectations or beliefs that we have about being a little bit more emotionally dysregulated? Do we have this belief that we have to be strong? Do we have this belief that we are not supposed to feel anything? And start to evaluate that. And during times of crisis or times of uncertainty, it's okay and actually very normal to have emotions or emotional states or feelings that are out of the ordinary for us, that we've not ever maybe felt before. And I always tell people to give yourself permission to just allow these different emotions to exist. They don't ever stay at a 10. Emotions come and they go. They come and they go. But right now they might come and go more frequently. But if we place a lot of judgment on that, we can actually feed the monster. We can make it worse and snowball and escalate. And then we think about them more. The more we think about our thoughts, we start to have secondary emotions. And then we get angry that we're anxious. And then we get sad that we're angry that we're anxious. And pretty soon we have a big mess. But yeah, if we allow our emotions to just exist and not necessarily judge them, I think that would be the healthiest place to be. I'm having a flashback to our last podcast. It's, you know, it's what we do with our emotions.
Yeah.
Are we projecting them out to others? And, you know, we talked at our grow meeting today about using social media more to have a relational connection. And I see a lot of people projecting their emotions on social media comment lines. There's just a lot of projection of anger and frustration and confusion. And that may not necessarily be the best thing to do right now. I think social media is amazing and it can be really helpful. But what happens is it becomes this bucket or dumping ground behind our computer where it can actually agitate or stir us up even more. And we project our emotions onto our screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday, I even caught myself when I did take a break, I started to pick up my phone to go look at social media. And I was like, Chantel, this is just going to make you feel more of what you're already feeling. Like, stop, pause, breathe.
Yep.
Don't feed into it.
Yep. And that's a great example of self-awareness. What you just said is you were able to step outside of your thoughts and your emotions and give yourself a check. You were able to pause, I say go into the balcony and look down at what's happening instead of being right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. If you are not self-aware and you're not able to pause, you're going to be saying you're sorry to a lot of people all the time. Mm. So if it's important to remember to go back to what God said. I gave you emotions to deal and cope with life, but I did not give you emotions to govern your life.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things when you were talking, Brenna, and I'm going to have you share more on this, Todd, you mentioned like not coming with judgment towards our emotions. And I think, you know, we're trying to fight against this at Pure Heart. But I think sometimes, especially in the church world, it's so easy, especially when we're feeling things like fear. There's a lot of like Christian platitudes or like cliches that are like, don't fear and trust God. And just, and so then there's like shame when I'm feeling fear because I'm a Christian and I'm not supposed to feel this way because I have Jesus. And I think I would love for us to kind of start to talk about that because I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think we jump to these platitudes. So how do we cling to scripture and what scripture does say of do not fear, but also be honest and real about our emotions?
Right. And one of the things that I tell people is anxiety is actually contagious. Fear is contagious, meaning if you are around or exposing yourself to people that are emitting fear, you can actually feel somebody's anxiety, and it becomes contagious if you're not self-aware that you're picking up on other people's anxiety. And this even applies to parents in the home. They have all these kids at home. We can talk about kids a little bit in dealing with what's happening in the homes, but anxiety and fear is contagious. So it's important to have different boundaries maybe right now as far as being aware of where there's a lot of fear. And sometimes I shouldn't say this, but look at everyone that might be fearful, including people that we would normally trust, people in leadership, people in our government. Take note that somebody else might be operating in fear, and go in the balcony or try to put some space between you and what you're seeing, where you can stop it on the outside of who you are and not let it in. So that you don't pick up on other people's energy, fearful energy, that you might be seeing. Cause I know I see it. I see it all over people acting and behaving differently in very fearful ways. So I know that I have to go into my resiliency skills of grounding myself and removing myself and setting boundaries, internal boundaries, so that I don't pick up on it. Mm. So.
Yeah. So if we're feeling fear, how do we begin to, Todd, I know that you're passionate about this idea of, God has a response for us. So we were talking about scriptures earlier, and how do we begin to, if we're experiencing fear, honoring it, right? Saying we're feeling fear. That's okay. Not shaming ourselves for feeling a feeling. But then how do we begin to respond and connect with God in that?
Well, you know, for me, there was a study years ago that the first, let's just say 15, 20 seconds of fear is legit. Anything after that is something where your mind takes over and starts to roll it over, and the Bible will call that meditating on it. Sometimes we'll call that worry, you know, a different kind of meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, God says to capture every thought. And I heard a guy give me this example one time, because when I was younger, I was not able to be self-aware as much as Brenda is self-aware. You know, she's like very Mrs. self-aware. But when my mind is spinning, or if I'm fearful in times like this, and it just continues to turn into, from a hamster wheel into a tornado in my head, he actually asked me to do an exercise. I said, "What's that?" He said, "In your mind, without saying anything out loud, start counting 1 through 10. And I was counting in my mind, and then he said, "Say your name out loud." And I said my name out loud. He says, "What happened to your thoughts in your mind? What happened to the counting?" I said, "It stopped." So when God says capture a thought, he means counteract it with what he says. And I love this one. And I'll just give you the first like 5 or 6 words in Romans 8 through 15. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," meaning that it has to come from outside. He's saying it didn't come from me. You have to receive the spirit from the outside. He didn't give that to us. Remember, he gave us power, sound mind, the whole thing. So for me, I have found that in my life, my life personally, than other people's lives, that in times like this, our mind will just go, right? Mm-hmm. And God says, that's fine. Just, and Brenda's saying, hey, go to the balcony, take a pause and go back. And God says, just what did I say that I gave you? Mm-hmm. And then once you understand what God says, things start to calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. It's easy to say to get Jesus, but if you don't have his word, remember in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh, right? Mm-hmm. So the word is the only thing we have in this planet that we can grab, tangible, that is God. And he says, hey, remind yourself of who I am. He says that in Philemon. How do you make your faith effective? Acknowledge what's inside you. Acknowledge every good thing that's inside you. And he gave us the spirit of power and of sound mind, especially in these times.
Yeah. And we were talking about this the other day, Todd, but as you said, that idea of the word, right, is the logos, which is like the order that put the world together in the beginning. Yeah. Like in the beginning was the order that God set the world in motion. And there's like this sense of like, oh, reminding me in that I'm not in control, but somebody is. And so there's another layer of that kind of reminds me like, you don't have to fear in this. Yeah. There's somebody who is bigger that you can touch in some ways and talk to and experience, right? That does bring order and is in control even when you're not. And part of this process for me, and I think for a lot of people, is recognizing like, I thought I was in control of so much more than I probably actually am, you know? And letting go of that. Yeah. And that's hard for people because it feels fearful. It feels scary to do that. And we have to begin to process that. So all of us, as we're experiencing whatever emotions we're experiencing, we all have different ways we start to cope.
Yep.
It's just how Absolutely. Humans work. Oh, yeah. And some of those things are probably better for us than others. So how do
really,
we...
Really, Chantel?
Yeah.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
I mean, Todd and I have talked for, I don't know how long, we've been talking about like eating stuff and exercise. Right.
There's sure been a lot of donuts in the office lately since Krispy Kreme just opened down the street from us.
Right? And it's real though. And I've noticed it even in, you know, the last couple months, but it's so easy for me mindlessly to go to food, especially as a great example, I don't even realize I'm sad or that I'm feeling something. Mm-hmm. And I reach for food and to comfort me. And I'm like not even aware of it. So how do we begin? And in moments I am, right? I'm telling you about it right now. But in the moment when I ate the Krispy Kreme donut in the grow meeting the other day, I wasn't, you know, I was just eating it, you know? So how do we begin to recognize what our coping mechanisms are? How do we do that?
Well, some of us know what they are.
Yes, like I just said.
We know what they are, but we, you know, what Paul says, why do I do what I don't want to do?
Right.
You know? I think we're human, and in times of stress, we always go back to what works. We don't always, but our body, like I'll talk more about from a physiological perspective, meaning our bodies remember what used to work for us. Mm. And I use the word imprinting, meaning when we first had some type of discomfort in our lives, where we felt pain, we started the process of adapting. Our bodies didn't like what we were going through, whether it's trauma or whether it's any other kind of environmental stress. Children find food. I mean, we find food first. And we know science tells us, biology tells us that powerful brain chemicals are released when we smell food, when we look at food, when we taste food. And so there's these chemicals that are released that help calm us, that help make us feel happy or make us feel good. So again, we have to kind of normalize what's happening right mm-hmm. now, that our bodies yeah. are going to naturally want to go back to what used to work really well, meaning especially in addiction, depending on how far we are in our recovery. Some people may not have any cravings at all, but some people might have some kind of a cue in the environment that their bodies will communicate a message to them, you need to go back to this. And if you don't have healthy coping skills in place or distraction techniques or something in place, it's harder. It can be harder. So I think that we have to normalize it and not judge it and just accept that it's happening right now. And I think I said this on my last podcast too, but you know, relapses with our food, mm-hmm. you know, might go up a little bit right now. The important thing to know is that we can get back up again, mm-hmm. that we can start over again, that we can have a new perspective. I know I'm going to go on a rabbit trail here, but Chantel said it was okay that I talked to her about this. But yesterday she didn't have so good of a day,
yeah.
and she was pretty emotional, and she was having a hard time. Like she said, it kind of all hit her, everything that was going on. She felt she was doing good. But the most important thing that I wanted to bring up about what she shared is that today she's in a much better place.
Mm, yeah.
I know, so we acknowledge the strength. We acknowledge the change. We look at the positive of how she came out of it. Sometimes we want to focus on the negative and we want to focus on the relapse, but give it a few days or give it a few hours. And it didn't stay at her at a 10. Her day did not stay at a 10. Something new came along. And when I pray with people, I always ask God to show them a tangible experience with you so that they know you're real. So that they can have hope. That they can move forward, that they can get back up again. And I think we talked about it earlier, Todd and I, when we were planning about what to say, is I think if there's ever a call for prayer now, is for an experience with God, a tangible experience with God during these times that we don't understand, where we may not feel safe, where we can feel God's presence. And I personally believe that we can feel His presence. And we can ask for a powerful move of God when we're scared. And however we do that is up to each one of us. I think that's a great positive coping skill if we feel that we're ready to relapse or we're slipping back into some old behaviors, kind of acknowledge that that might be normal, and mm-hmm. also acknowledge that that we know it's going to pass. Chantel is living proof today that it's going to pass.
Yeah, and that's a great example, and especially as you were even talking about food and coping mechanisms, because I remember yesterday, like, I remember I was having a hard time, and I definitely ate some M&Ms, you know, sitting at my desk. I'm going to be honest with you, right?
I think Todd did, too.
and I went to those in a moment when I was probably, if I'm looking back, feeling sad. The difference is that, like, today I don't have to, like, meditate on the fact that I ate M&Ms yesterday and what the heck. Like, I just did it. It's not a big deal. You know, I also prayed. I also reached out to someone. I also did some other things that are really healthy ways for me to cope and to process through what I was feeling. I honored what I was feeling, that I was good. Feeling sad. I let myself cry. Good. I let myself be honest about those things. All good things. And then today I don't have to. So I don't get to look back on yesterday and say, well, I ate the M&Ms and then beat myself up. Because guess what I'm probably going to do if I do that is just go eat more M&Ms, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But instead, I get to honor the fact, well, today is a better day. I'm doing better. And yesterday I did the things that I needed to do to move towards a healthier response. And so I think just giving people that permission to, like, things are just going to look different and it's okay, you know, that we're all processing. And sometimes we will, you know, mess up. And we're talking about food here in one way. But there's lots of other ways we do that, you know. And what we don't want is it to become it's so easy to isolate when we,
yes.
And we've talked about shame, and shame is a loaded word, right? But we begin to isolate when we beat ourselves up for those things, and it actually produces more of that same behavior. It doesn't produce healing. It doesn't produce growth. So
can I interrupt her?
Yeah, please do.
So let's dig deep.
Yeah, let's do it.
The three of us. Okay. What I hear Brenda saying and what I hear you saying, I don't disagree with. But what we're really saying is a little bit of something is okay.
Mm, yeah.
That's what we're saying, right?
Totally.
So let's, in my world, in the fitness world, a little bit of something is not okay. But I'm going to go a little bit different. In the drug world, if you're sober, a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of drugs is not okay.
No.
In marriage world, a little bit of adultery is not okay. So, yeah, I understand what Brenda's saying as far as normalize it. Don't beat yourself up. But what we're really saying is we're still letting a little bit of fear in. Because I didn't hear either one of you say, I'm going to go to broccoli. I didn't hear either one of you say, I'm going to go to something that doesn't taste good. We went to a drug mm-hmm. that made us feel good. The reason people go to drugs is because it works.
Yeah.
Right? The reason people go to porn is because it works. So What I'm saying is we are normalizing something that shouldn't be normalized. I'm trying to make you aware of that a little bit of fear tolerated will grow. So when you say you're a little bit healthier today, I'm going to say, because I know you and if I care about you, I'm going to tell you the truth. We've been trying to work on something as far as your health goes. And if you were 65 years of age and you were 30 years a type 2 diabetic, a little bit of sugar is not okay.
Yeah.
Right? So I think at point, I understand what we're saying here is trying to normalize and don't judge or analyze or beat ourselves up. But at the same time, I'm going to go back to the God. God says, I did not give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the spirit of power and of sound mind. So if you are healthier today, the next time this happens, you won't go to M&M's or you won't go to drugs or... Do you follow me on that?
Yep.
So I hear you and I understand it. I don't want you to... I'm not going to judge or analyze anybody. But we've... Nobody is forcing anything down us. So when it's... If and I'm the world's best at going to numerous Krispy Kreme donuts. But... At that point, there comes a point where if we're serious about walking a disciplined life, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we feel, again, those things don't govern us. What governs us?
Mm.
The truth. And the truth is a person named Jesus, and that was the word. That's what we have tangible. So there comes a point where we have to come back to it. As we get better and be more self-aware, we have to come back and say, what did Jesus say about me going to M&M's to comfort myself?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I just want to make sure this get real.
We're good. You can go there with me, Todd. I'm not.
Because Brenda and I talk about this all the time, and food is the largest drug that nobody gets held accountable for.
Yeah.
You know? What I like about people that who have actually, you know, done the steps and that are in recovery is they realize that how powerful drugs are, but they have the guts to actually say, I got a problem and I gotta stop doing this. Food, we do not say that. Food, we give a pill or a shot and we say, here, have some more food. It's normal. It's okay. And then by the time I meet them, single female with, single mother with two or three kids, one job, no money, and that's stressful. And if they're 300 pounds, then their health is stressful.
Yeah.
On top of all that, it's rough. It's a rough world.
And we're talking, we want to talk about being, we're whole people, right? And we want to care for the whole person. And that Jesus, a part of this becoming like Jesus is doing that in a whole person sort of way.
Perspective.
Yeah. And so I think that that's really helpful, Todd. And I think you're right. So how do we, what are some of the practical ways if we're used to coping with M&Ms, and maybe that's what we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's something new for me to tomorrow? Me, I know there's some people.
Don't bring me into your M&Ms.
Maybe not you guys. Krispy Kreme donuts.
I had donuts yesterday, so I can't.
Or the people listening, whatever that may be for them. And maybe, like you said, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't food. Maybe it's sex. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's something else.
Rock and roll?
Yeah. Sex, all drugs, right. Rock and roll. Yeah. You know?
That is a combo.
That is, yeah.
It's a McDonald's Big Mac.
What are some of the things that are practical that I can do today instead when I'm, you know, feeling sad, when I'm feeling fear?
I can give you a real world example that I stumbled on. If I look back on it, I'd mentioned this to Brenda years ago. I'm very sure that the Holy Spirit gave to me. I train a lot of men that have all kinds of different professions, right? And my best friend and I stopped training for a long period of time. Let's just say 6 months to a year. And his wife came into me one time to see me. And he was probably 15 years my senior at the time. She says to me, you have to get Ron back in here to train. And I says, why? She said, because he's a complete ass at home when he gets home from work. I'm sorry about the word ass. That is a very legitimate word in this conversation. But anyway, she went on to tell me how he is abusive. He is, and he doesn't have to say anything or do anything. He's just silent sometimes. He's just mean. So I didn't catch what she was saying. And then we started training again. And if you've ever had a physically exhausting day out working in the yard or a physical job where you actually dig ditches all day and you're physically exhausted, that stress, that coping mechanism is not there. You're just flat out tired. You don't want to do anything but just go to bed. So sometimes when your mind, here's what I'm saying, when your mind has worked itself into a, if a little bit of fear came in and you didn't medicate it and you meditate on it over and over again, it turns into a very big thing. And sometimes men, when we come home, we will take it out on whoever's in the house. And back in the day, it used to be okay to go home or go to a bar before you went home because it worked, calmed you down. But now we have the ability to know that, we're fortunate to know that you could go to a weight room and literally just get your backside kicked. And that goes away. And when, and I will tell you, within a month, she came back to me. I actually ran into her and she said, it's night and day. So you asked me, what's a healthy alternative when things are going bad? Get out and move. You know, I could say meditate on God's word sometimes, but sometimes that doesn't work because you go back and forth, back and forth. But if you go out and just do something extremely hard, here's a real simple example. I would ask you to pick a place where you could do a push-up. I don't care if it's on a desk or a floor.
And you're assuming I can do a push-up. No, sorry.
Yes,
I can. You can do it against a wall.
One, maybe not 10.
You know? Sorry, I shouldn't assume it. But let's just say you do that until you can't move. And you collapse and you roll over on your back, rest, and then we ask you to do it again and then do it again and watch what happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, you know, the mind and the brain communicate quite often.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, the mind and the brain and the body communicate quite often.
Yeah.
And when you make it over communicate like that to a stimulus to where it just throws you down, things change dramatically quick.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome because when we're feeling fear, like you said, sometimes it's like on replay in our brains. And sometimes if we can get out of our head and get into our bodies, we can actually help calm that. I know that's true for me. One of my things that I like to do, this is kind of silly, but when I'm frustrated or fearful or different things, I probably can't do this right now, but going to the batting cages is like,
that's awesome.
Like such a healthy release for me.
Yeah.
And I'll do that. I'll overdo it, right? When I'm feeling like I need to do it and I'll do way too many pitches, but I go home and I feel exhausted and I wake up the next morning and I feel,
perfect.
That reminds me of one of my little pictures I paint for people to help understand how much fear and pent-up energy is like electricity stored in our bodies. And when we have a lot of fear going on, there's a lot of electrical current that's going on inside of us. And I use this analogy of the lightning rod. I grew up in the Midwest, and my grandparents owned a farm. And they had a huge farmhouse, 3 stories, huge. And on the top of the farmhouse, they had this lightning rod. And I'll ask people, you know, what is a lightning rod? What is it used for? And most people know what a lightning rod is, and I'm surprised because it's kind of an old Midwestern type of thing that is used. And I think there's probably even other ways to deal with electricity and lightning now other than a lightning rod. But when that lightning hits, the reason you have that lightning rod is why? It actually helps ground the electricity, and the current that comes from the lightning is drawn into the ground, and it neutralizes it. So if we don't have ourselves grounded, maybe in the Word of God or whatever, and coping skills or outlets for a lot of this electrical energy and this fear and all this stuff that's boiling inside of us, really, Todd described very well, the best way to get rid of that electrical energy and all of that's inside of you that's pent up is to work out. Like it releases a lot of that energy. Another way that releases energy is a really, really good cry.
I can vouch for that.
But, you know, just moving, getting out and I call it activating your 5 senses, getting your heart rate up above 100 beats per minute, whether it's walking, we live in this age of resources online, YouTube videos. There's phenomenal resources to do stuff at home. And I've already seen just a quadrupling on social media of personal trainers that are now in their home or in their backyard helping people to do working out. So just moving and getting off the couch can really release a lot of that pent-up energy of what's going on in our bodies and in the world.
And I will tell you, you know this, being a mother. Mothers know when their kids are rowdy in the house to go outside and play and just work it all out. We've known it for a long time.
And then we forget it when we're adults that we need to do the same thing a little bit, honestly.
Yeah.
I've heard of several different like fitness apps right now that are doing free things and that usually have like paid memberships that are free right now. There's so many resources, YouTube videos, it's everywhere. And some of it is just like, instead of we talked about food, we talked about drugs, but even like Netflix right now or you know, scrolling through your phone, that's also sometimes that's an addiction that we all have, yeah. Especially right now when a lot of us are stuck at home. It's so easy to we can't go to the gym like we usually do. It's not built in our routine, but get up, walk outside, go around the block while you're social distancing, yeah. Do some sit-ups, or follow a home workout, something like that to move your body. I think that's so helpful for us. And I think, like you said, crying, great. Yeah, I did that yesterday. That's how I felt when I got home last night. I felt like what you said from a workout is almost how I felt when when you cried for the day and you feel so exhausted. And I was so ready for bed and to sleep and to rest.
Did you sleep good last night?
I slept so good last night. Nice. And I did not want to wake up this morning. I could have taken another hour. But I slept so, so good. And, sometimes journaling and releasing or calling somebody and in talking, letting somebody else into it. I think so. Again, that isolation when we're stressed or feeling fear or sadness, especially if we're judging those emotions. If we don't start by analyzing the emotions as they come in, mm-hmm. naming them, and then also not judging them, then we can't. Then we want to isolate. And so, if we can reach out instead and invite another person into that, there's so many ways we can begin to be intentional about coping in different ways. I think.
Yeah.
I do believe in the power of another individual, somebody helping you out and talking. Just pick up the phone and calling. Same thing, speaking out loud and getting your mind to stop and talk about life and get it off your chest.
Yeah. And we're not minimizing prayer because I think it is that too. But I think God cares about all these things and he helps us through all of these things. I can go on a walk and pray and be with Jesus. And even if I'm not even saying anything, just the silence and walking and God meets me there. And so sometimes I think we're the ones who limit God. We think that he's not going to meet us that it's not a spiritual thing for us to go and go for a run or something after we had a really hard, it's okay. God will meet you there.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing that he's given.
You're
us
assuming that we can run. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Assuming that you can run. Now you guys both mentioned kids. What are some ways to help people? I don't have kids. I was going to say our kids. I don't have kids, but other people listening do. How do we help kids? And I have a little sister that I spend a lot of time with who is needing to process this too. So how do we help our kids, the people that are in our lives that are younger, process through maybe what they're feeling or their built up energy or all of these things? How do we begin to help them process through this time?
Well, I'm not a child expert. My kids are really old, but I tried to find some stuff before I came here and I didn't find a lot, but I think that kids are naturally resilient. They perceive things way differently than we do, but they are watching us, how we behave, how we act, you know, that emotional energy that we might be emitting, the mistakes that we might be making, you know, they're watching that. But I think that these times are incredible opportunities to teach our kids about being resilient, about being strong. If we behave in ways that make them feel unsafe in their own home, when we do things that cause them to question, as opposed to making lemons out of lemonade. A lot of people are saying that nowadays. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired. Looking at this as an opportunity to learn to connect to your kids in a different way. Mm. We are doing something so new with all these moms at home. My daughter's at home right now with her two kids and her husband's working from home. They're all at home, and she's working. And it's like really having a perspective that's beneficial for your kids. However that is, I would hate to make a blanket statement to all the moms out there because there's so many different situations, but these types of opportunities are not negative. They're actually a positive opportunity to teach kids how to be strong under stress. And somebody put a thing on social media and I wanted to capture it and say and bring it today, but I didn't have time. It was along the lines of fast forward to 2030, and the mother is talking to the adult child about what happened during this time. And the mother was recalling all the horror, the lack of toilet paper, all the crises that were going on in the world. And the adult child says, Well, I just remember getting to play outside and I got to sleep in and I got to talk to my mom and I laughed a lot and I had fun. And the child interpreted everything as extremely fun and powerful. It's just a great time, yeah. Whereas mom interpreted it as this nasty thing. So I think that shows the perception of a child versus the adult that, you know, this is an opportunity to really teach our kids about life. Because life, you know, adversity is going to come. You know, the Bible says that. This is a new trouble. Now, the younger generation, this might be the first time they have walked through a crisis. Younger parents and people that haven't had to go through anything that would create what we call post-traumatic growth or resiliency, this is a new time for them. There's a lot of people that have been through a lot already, and this is just one of many things that people have gone through. And some of us older people have gone through a lot, and I'm going to talk about my mother because I checked in with her a couple days ago to see how she's doing. She's 84. Mm. My mother was born in the Depression. She was born early. She was born at 4 pounds. In the upper Midwest, what you did is you baptized the baby because you thought they were going to die. And she grew up extremely poor, post-Depression. She stood in cheese lines. Her parents stood in cheese lines and milk lines. And then she lived in an abusive marriage for 27 years. And then she made only minimum wage till she retired. And I checked in with, and she has no social media. She doesn't have cable. She has TV channels and she has a computer, but she's not on. And so I said, you know, I just checked in, like we're all supposed to check in. And she's like, I'm fine. Like she was completely fine, unaffected. And I'm saying that because she has built up resiliency through a tremendous amount of adversity. So this is a time to teach our kids how to be resilient in adversity. It's a huge, huge opportunity. So I don't know how practical that is, but it's more philosophical and it's more of an opportunity for to look at the positive instead of the devastation.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you mentioned, like you said earlier, like we can kind of transmit that anxiety. So kids are going to absorb that or potentially, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're, if you're just being present with them and playing a game with them or doing a puzzle like that, that is going to impact them in a potentially really positive way during this time.
Connecting with somebody versus being with somebody are two totally different things.
Yeah.
When you're emotionally connecting to somebody, you are fully present with them versus being in the same room with them. And so there's a lot of bonding that can happen and attachment that may not have happened because of our lifestyle and the world that we live in. There's time where we can really learn about our family that we maybe have never learned about them because of the fast-paced life that we are in.
It's important to note, too, that it doesn't cost anything to go outside and play with your kids. It doesn't cost anything to play a game or read a book with your kids. And it's, like Brenda says, it's just, you didn't, but we grew up where there wasn't a lot of things to do. Thank God we didn't have
computers.
We didn't have that. So, it was pretty much go outside and play.
Yeah.
And then when your family went with you, or like my dad came with me all the time. We played sports all the time. And I look back on it, I was kind of like that kid that Brenda said that in that analogy of 20-30. I don't remember any of the hard times. I you know, we didn't have anything, but I didn't know it. I thought we were rich and we had a lot of fun and we played all the time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. So I think in these times, like Brenda says, if you don't have to work, if you don't have to work from home and you've got some time off, it doesn't cost anything to go outside and play, have a good time.
I've been seeing things, you know, all these people are having to homeschool their kids or help them with online school right now. And I saw something on social media as well that it was just like, hey, just remember that the connection and like you showing up and loving your kids is actually like the most impactful thing, more than just them getting the right information and all the answers. Yeah. Like there's other things happening here that is actually a potential gift for families in this season.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not hard too, right? So it can be both.
Absolutely, yeah.
You mentioned earlier you were talking about having an experience with God, that we would be comforted by God. And I thought of the verse that we experience comfort so that we can be a comforter to others. How in this time can we begin to do that for people in our lives?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was wanting to talk about that because we had chatted earlier. So I think that us as believers, we have a huge opportunity to demonstrate Christ right now. And it's not necessarily getting I know Todd says we have to get our Bibles out, but it's kind of being present with people. And grounding people by our own regulation, our own emotional regulation, by us being regulated in our own anxiety, we can help ground other people. Yeah. We can demonstrate security, because sometimes when if this is the first time they haven't felt safe, or they have this perception that I'm not safe right now, I think we as Christians, first, we talked earlier about in the beginning about self-awareness. We need to evaluate ourselves first. We need to make sure that we're grounded, and we need to be aware of others not being grounded. And we can, just by how we behave and connect with somebody is tremendous right now. We don't necessarily have to have the Bible memorized, or you talked to, I think you said spiritual platitudes or spiritual something.
Yeah, like cliches, like, and
we feel like because now there's some kind of skill that we have to have, and it's really just simple. Make sure we're grounded. Make sure we're managing our emotions. Make sure what comes out of our mouth is Philippians. You know, it's good. And we are going to help build resilience in other people that don't feel safe right now. They feel out of control. And I think that's our greatest mission right now as we walk out into the community, is we ground ourselves in Christ. We make sure we're regulated. We make sure there's space between ourselves and the other person's anxiety. And we just do what God leads us to do, constantly being aware of our own calmness in Christ. And people are going to want to drink from that. They're going to want to be around that versus the anxiety, the outside anxiety, anxious world.
Yeah.
That's very good, Brenda.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, what if Christians during this time were suddenly known as like the non-anxious presence, right?
Yeah,
like the people that I could go to when I'm not okay or when I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. And people who honored whatever the other person was feeling, whether that's anxiety or fear or not, right? Like we can just honor other people's emotions.
Yeah.
Because we've self-regulated and honored our own.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a gift to people. Mm-hmm. And there's a, we get to help people grow and encounter God when we do that. Mm-hmm. In a moment, sometimes we don't even have to talk about the Bible. Like, right? Like you said, it's not necessarily even evangelism or something like that, but just being present. And we bring the presence of God with us.
Yep.
And being, so there's an attraction to that.
Yeah, and being fully attentive to somebody else. You know, it's hard sometimes because we have our own internal process. There's really no degree that you need. There's no Bible knowledge, you know. Like you don't have these requirements. You just to connect with somebody doesn't really, it requires you to turn yourself off and be attentive to what's going on with that other person. Just being present is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Which is great. Cause I think sometimes we could jump to, I know me and my personality and my response often is to jump to fixing or helping or changing a situation. And sometimes just attentiveness and time and presence is actually what a person needs.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not in control. I can't fix just about anything. I can pick up toilet paper for somebody or something like that, you know, but I can't fix what's happening right now.
I do have 6 rolls in my trunk in case somebody, I run in and let, if God puts somebody in my path that needs toilet paper, I do have 6 rolls in my trunk. So I,
we can't help with those practical needs, but also just attentiveness I think is huge. And that's how we show love to people.
I was going to say, we could wrap that up into one word, love.
Love. Yeah. Right. Attention, time, presence. That is what it means to
Brenda's not familiar with that term. I'll have to.
I'm not even going to go.
Well, I think we went a lot of different places, and I think is there anywhere else we need to go that we didn't talk about?
Well, I'm going to
submit,
well, when this podcast is released, I do have a couple of very practical online resources for people. I'll say them.
Please. That's what I was going to,
So there's a couple. There's a lot of cyber groups that are going on right now that you can look for on the internet. But the two that I found that are pretty good is intherooms.com and lionrockrecovery.com. So if you're if you're managing a substance use issue or stress or anxiety, those are two resources where you can actually go into groups online. And they're actually like a Zoom group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the people, and you can go to a 12-step meeting. You can go to attend a group for anxiety. The other super uber practical social worker resource.
Yes.
Arizona just put out a phenomenal website called aztogether.org. And that has all kinds of resources for anybody during this time, including anxiety support groups and that type of thing. And I don't know if we can let the cat out of the bag, but Pure Heart is actually, we are brainstorming to create online support during this time. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean social media behind your computer screen. I mean like a Zoom group where yes. you can actually see the people, talk to different people, and have a relational connection a little bit more than what social media is providing us now, where we can actually talk to one another in a meeting, some type of a meeting. So I hope that, I pray for all you prayer people out there, help us pray by praying that we can launch some of this stuff immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are in the works. And so that's really helpful. Like you said, for those dealing with addiction, mm-hmm. extreme anxiety, those sorts of things, we're going to have all of those resources linked if you look at the show notes. And then like Brenda mentioned, we're going to have some, if you're just seeking community and you need to have a convert, you know what I mean? We just mm-hmm. want to talk. We're going to be having small groups that are launching nice. Online, and they're going to be like sermon based. So you watch the message on a weekend. We're going to just chat about the message, pray for each other, encourage each other, just a space so that we don't have to do this alone, that we can yeah. come together, even if relationships don't end just because we can't see each other face to face all the time.
That's awesome, Chantel.
And so, yeah, those are some great resources. Obviously, if you have questions, you can reach out to our team as well here at Pure Heart, and I'll give details there in just a bit. So thank you guys so much for being
don't
here.
Don't ever forget that we still have wellness at pureheart.org.
Yes.
People email me all the time.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this. This was great. Wasn't that conversation with Brenda and Todd so great? I know I learned a lot, and I really enjoyed talking with them. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation as well. My encouragement to you is to just navigate what your next steps are from that conversation. We all have an opportunity here to learn how to regulate ourselves better and grow in resiliency. And so you know what maybe the next step is for you. And maybe it's just in picking one of those areas for today to grow spiritually or emotionally or physically, one thing that you might implement. Maybe it's going on a walk instead of watching another movie, or I don't know what that might be for you, but I encourage you to kind of begin to process that with God. And then I would also just remind you that the resources we mentioned are going to be linked in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. If you are interested in getting connected to resources that aren't listed there that are here at Pure Heart, you can reach us at podcast@pureheart.org, and we will get you connected to the next right spot. So I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you guys. Love you, family.